by getting religion and giving it back. I don't need more guilt here in my life. How the hell's that supposed to help me find the light? And I don't need you preaching at me day and night about the way I look, the way I walk, the way I dress, the way I talk, or something that you think you see like you ever looked at me. You say you got it figured out, you seem awful proud about it. I never really trusted folks who have to talk so loud. That ain't to say you never looked me in the eye, but looking isn't seeing, and you just can't spare the time. Besides, you're selling things that just don't feel like buying, like guilt and pain, fear and shame. Who to thank, who to blame? A set of rules bound to keep the living out of life. Who to love and who to hate? What's too soon and what's too late? Some test you have to pass before you feel the love of God.
On the bass, singing all the notes, playing all the low ones.
Thanks very much. I get a kick about singing songs about hope and light in the den of iniquity, you know. The sound, they try to fool you because everything's a major chord out there. It sounds very happy, right? Everything's great as long as you're up. I'm up.
We said we're getting to some stuff that we haven't played on this trip yet, so we're going to get Adam Angel over here.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Long live Robert Moore. And greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, March 21st, 2012, the only first day of spring and the only first webcast of the Start of Spring Pledge Drive 2012 in the history of the world. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. Yes, power to the people. In fact, the power has been delivered to you beautiful people. On the inside, in your heart, that has been imputed with righteousness, where exists the Holy Spirit of God. We're coming to you live from that bay of the Holy Spirit. And we are on night number one of the start of Spring Pledge Drive. So we're glad to have you along for the ride. And the power's in your hands. It's not only in your heart, it's in your hands as we appeal to you during these next 21 days in the history of the Gospel Revolution to help financially. We'll be talking about that as the program rolls on. And now, without any delay, let us go from the Bay of the Holy Spirit across the Gulf of Mexico to the home offices of the Gospel Revolution in Houston, Texas. Please welcome online the Kentucky Colonel, the Teacup Poodle. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Grand Poobah and Most High and Holy Reverend, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Hey, Glenn. How are you this evening?
Mikey, this is a historical night. We were actually early. Now, the folks that are listening online may have realized, and of course, the people that are on the archive enjoyed the song from Yonder Mountain String Band, Things You're Selling. Mm-hmm. And what a song that is, talking about getting free from legalism and religion. You guys, it's the lyrics to the song are at gospelrevolution.com. And it's always amazing, Michael, when you hear these quote-unquote secular bands singing and promoting music that would never be heard in an evangelical Christian church, and yet so much more reveals the gospel than anything their praise and worship leaders are serving up.
Oh, no doubt. The any form of the arts is going to have more gospel in it than any sector of Christianity ever has or ever will. A simple painting will have more understanding and revelation of the gospel than any denomination on the face of the planet. There are songs by contemporary and modern artists that just, goodness gracious, Lady Gaga sings more gospel than is in the entirety of the Christian world. And there's a very powerful reason for that, and that's because these arts are things that come from things that people are gifted with, and those gifts seem to tap the reservoir of the direct knowledge and understanding of the gospel, which resides in the heart, and we are gifted with it. Through their gifts, we get to hear the gospel, and many times we don't understand why that we're hearing the gospel. We just like with Yonder Mountain Band. We're hearing why we should not have been hearing what we thought was the gospel from them. They do a really good job making the case for that. So, it's a powerful thing to get to hear the gospel. And isn't it strange, though, that within the realms of Christianity, and especially some of the strongest sects of Christianity, one of the things that they really try to suppress is the arts. They don't like it. They don't like the freedom of the arts. They don't like music.
What
they would call secular music.
You know why, Michael, right?
Why?
Because there's a lot of gay people in the arts.
Well, let's keep that quiet.
We don't want to associate with those homosexuals, you say.
And even just the lyrics, they just don't like the lyrics.
They don't like anything. They don't like any kind of manifestation of freedom.
They don't like nothing.
They don't like nothing unless it can bind people up in their minds and to restrict people from expressing their gift. And you talked about the modern artist, like Lady Gaga, and you hear more stuff about the gospel on television programs like Glee or Deadwood. The list could go on and on. But some of the music that we play on this radio show comes from way back in the day, and that's way more gospel-y than anything that you're going to hear at Joel Osteen's church there in Houston, that's for sure.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, it's goodness gracious, the music of the 60s and the 70s there was great revelation in the understanding of their music in the gospel. It's just been tremendous. And the phones are already ringing off the hook.
I was going to say, is that how like when people are in a public place and the phone rings and they say, is that your phone or my phone? I was going to say, is that your phone or my phone? Well, that's
somebody calling in wanting to donate money. Just they're anxious.
They're calling you at your house.
Even here.
That's
Michael,
a beautiful.
Please take my money.
We we have a lot of people already to thank for giving. And we're going to be talking about that, but whether you want to give or just talk, or both, the numbers are available to you here. The phone will ring here, and then Sean will pick it up, and he will take your call at 1-800-436-3260. That is the toll-free number all over Canada and the United States of America. 1-800-436-3260. If you're outside North America, you guys can call us too. If you're listening live and it's about 9 minutes until 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the aforementioned U.S. of A., you can call us too at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Well, we talked about the phone numbers, the phones are ringing, and our heart, Michael, is if people want to give, they should give. If they don't, they shouldn't. And one of the things about so many of the so-called religious or Christian ministries that ask for money is they don't just imply it. I mean, they flat out state it that if you give unto their ministry, you're giving unto God, and God will bless you because of it. For people that are giving to the Gospel Revolution to the Gospel Revolution effort, Michael, what do they get and why do they get it?
Well, they get the joy of knowing they're sharing the gospel, and that's pretty much it. The other part of this, Glenn, too, that I think is very important to understand is that the reason that people support people's ministries is because they feel like that they are being instructed by God to do so. Now, please, if you're waiting on God to instruct you to support Mike Williams Ministries, forget it. And we would get a great amen from the entire Christian world from that. God is not going to tell you to give to God to Mike Williams Ministries or to the Gospel Revolution. But what they also won't tell you is that God's not going to has not told anybody to give to anybody's ministry.
How do you know that?
This is one of the most hideous things. Well, God doesn't support ministries.
But Michael, they don't just say you're supporting a ministry. They say when you're making a donation to, Good Samaritans or Jimmy Swaggart Ministries or Joel Osteen's thing or Joyce Myers or Kenneth Copeland or Pat Robertson or John Hagee or whoever, they say you're giving unto God.
Oh, yes, you're giving to God, and not only you are being instructed by God to give to God, and you're going to be blessed by God. It just so happens there's somebody in the middle there that gets all the money.
Ironically, that is the only time evangelicals will even hint at the fact that they are one with God.
Yes. Yeah, because we're the ones getting the money.
But Michael,
sure.
But they say that you'll get 10 and 30 and 60 fold, 100 fold if you give.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah. but it must not work. You know how I know it must not work? Because if it worked, all they would be doing would be giving the ministries.
They would be giving.
Why
would they not implement their own beliefs and find out how many people they have in their congregation, find out how much money there is in the account, and divide that up and give something to everyone in the church. And according to their doctrine, that's the way to become wealthy. It is not by taking up offerings. That they are in total contradiction to themselves, as they always are. I just don't know of anything in the realm of Christianity that doesn't say one thing and then state something just quite the contrary. On the other hand, it's just ridiculous.
Well, now you've gone from preaching to meddling. And why can you state this so definitively?
Number one, been there, done that. I know how people generate people's interest in giving. It is it's really sad that to feel spiritual and to feel like God is using you, you have to feel like God's talking to you. And if you feel like God's talking to you, then you're going to have to give something, because if God's talking to you, he's certainly going to tell you to give.
Yeah, but why isn't God now not? Obviously, God told Israel to give offerings, was very specific about what they needed to give. I mean, very specific, way more specific than just your 10% tithe. Well, let's focus on that for a second. What about the tithe? What about if people say God said in the Old Testament to give the tithe, and I'm getting fed? That's their rationale, is wherever you're being fed from, you need to give the tithe to. This is what Israel did, both in animal tithes and crops. So you're being fed there. So why would you not give your tithe to the aforementioned ministries and see that as giving it to God? Because God says in the scriptures that if you withhold the tithe, that you are literally robbing from God.
Well, if we weren't dealing with something that has been totally fulfilled, then we'd have something to talk about. But according to Jesus, he fulfilled all of the scriptures, and part of the scriptures is about the tithe, and Jesus became our tithe. Paul explained in Hebrews how that Abraham had paid tithes in Melchizedek, and I think that's the way it's stated anyway. He declares that, and of course we are given instruction that we are to understand that Melchizedek is a type of Christ, and tithes have been paid in Christ. Jesus is the tithe. He was that portion that was offered up to sanctify the whole or the entirety. The tithe, he was not only the tithe, he was the offering, he was the sacrifice. He filled all of these portional requirements by God so that it would benefit all. To go back and require if you're going to require the tithe, you have to require the sacrifice also. That's what this was all tied to. Was the fulfillment and the culmination of the offering of the sacrifice, and the ministry of the priesthood that was to be supported, that's been fulfilled. There is no priesthood on this planet anymore. And when people give to support widows and orphans, that's great, but it has nothing to do with obeying scripture or obeying God. So as people decide what they would like to do, I really want you to be able to own that and know that you decided in your own heart, as I'm convinced that everyone who supports the Mike Williams Ministries right now and Gospel Revolution, they do it because they decided. They purposed in their heart, kind of like Paul said, the way that things go now. I mean, if the tithe were still in in operation, Paul never spoke about it. And Paul said that to when that now giving and supporting a ministry is definitely spoken of, especially by Paul in the New Testament. But Paul said it was very explicitly now that you give out of your abundance. You don't give. There is no instruction to give out of your poverty the way these guys speak.
Dude. This is like the worst offering sermon ever.
Well, it is the best one if you're wanting people to give from their heart.
This is horrible. Is it possible that when Paul was talking about out of the abundance, that he wasn't talking just about your material wealth, but it was talking about out of your abundance of your heart that you wanted to share with other folks? I mean, obviously, Paul appealed for money. He appealed for support, for sure. But he never tied it to the scriptures.
He never did.
Maybe that's why he was broke.
you cannot narrow it down to just out of the abundance of your heart. Paul literally meant that you should give out of the abundance of money that you have. That it should come out of what you have, not out of what you don't have. I do not want anybody offering support to this ministry out of their need. I don't want that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you, because if you're doing it out of your need, then you're thinking that somehow by doing this out of your need, God is going to meet your need.
Right. This ain't
going to happen. I don't teach that. I don't have any desire for anyone to follow through with something like that.
This is maybe some different information, because those of us that were in the Word of Faith movement or the so-called prosperity gospel know exactly what you're talking about right now. But just for all the beautiful humans around the world, Michael, they were under legalism, but they weren't under that kind of legalism. Explain to the folks what was meant by giving out of your need.
Well, of course, all of these were Old Testament references. The woman where the prophet came in and told her he was hungry, and he said to, you know, make him some bread and cook some soup or whatever it was. And she said, I only have enough for me and my son, and that's all. And he told her that if you will make that for me instead of for you and your son, this is the last meal you'll ever have. But if you feed me, then God will provide for you. So, and indeed that did happen. If that happened now, we wouldn't have any poor people attending church, because these folks have given out of their absolute desperation.
Right.
And they stay desperate. Thank God when things do turn around, for whatever reason they turn around. But the reason is
not because they've given to the church.
Absolutely not. It does not invoke some spiritual thing that gets a chain reaction spiritually going for you. It could open up your heart to where that you'd realize, you know, that there's other opportunities. Because obviously, when we play everything so close to the vest, as they would say in the Old West, that you're not really open to the possibilities. But this has nothing to do with invoking a spiritual cycle that will begin, that will lead you into wealth.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is a message on the start of Spring Pledge Drive from the Gospel Revolution. Oh, my God. What is wrong with us? It's about 3 minutes after 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A. You guys, somebody's going to call first in the start of Spring Pledge Drive. And whether you're going to give or you have given or you don't want to give or you just want to talk, it always takes the first caller. So Sean, who is playing her tonight with swollen glands, sore throat, earache.
Poor baby.
He is waiting to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. The pledge drive and the webcast was in jeopardy at 6:14 this morning when I got an email from young Seanable. And He said, no webcast tonight. He said, this only happens about every 2 years, but I'm not going to work and blah, blah, blah. That's how I started my day, Michael.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, Sean, buck up. You know, it's souls are at stake. No, I didn't say that at all. What I said was get better, and maybe later in the day we don't have to make a decision yet. Let me know. And, you know, here he is, sniffling, coughing, choking, but he's suffering for the Lord. So call him, folks. Talk to Sean. I already laid hands on him, so you guys all know that. At 1-800-436-3260, you can reach through spiritually through the telephone and touch Sean directly at 1-800-436-3260 on webcast number one of the 2012 Start of Spring Pledge Drive. And you guys around the world can call us, too, at 813-425-5773. Well, Michael, apparently a number of people have decided to follow their hearts, not necessarily because they're going to be blessed by God, but just because they want more people to hear the gospel.
Really?
So are you ready for this, my friend?
I don't know. Well, I'm ready. Let's go.
First of all, we kick it off, and we always usually do this at the end, but I just want to do it now. And you know why I'm doing it? Because I can. We want to thank Bob Hines from McDonough, Georgia, who says, please mark me down, Mike and Glenn and Jeff, for a one-time $25 donation for the pledge drive. This is in addition to my quarterly donations.
Good man.
Bob Hines, ladies and gentlemen. Want to also thank the very lovely and talented Carla Barton, who is chiming in with $50 for this pledge drive from beautiful Tampa, Florida, a one-time gift.
Carla.
Thanks, Car. So appreciated. And the phones are ringing. So excited. All right. Now, here's the big list. Ready? Our goal is to raise $500. You heard it right. $500 in either new or increase monthly pledges. We're taking one-time gifts, too, of course. Like Carla just gave $50. Bob Hines gave $25, which we're so appreciative. Large, medium, small. All one size fits all, ladies and gentlemen. It all goes to the same effort, which is to get the gospel out. And so far, since we started the pledge drive, we have in one-time gifts $1,025. And in monthly gifts, new or increased monthly gifts, we have $287 already on our goal, on our way to a $500 goal. And you extrapolate that over 12 months, that's $3,444. So, I mean, this is a good first 20 minutes or 25 minutes of the first webcast of the
spring. If we do this every 25 minutes for the next 3 weeks, we'll be okay.
We'll be just fine. It'd be kind of like it'd be 700 club like totals, ladies and gentlemen. But
there you go.
We're more than happy to receive it, and you know where it's going to go to. So let's thank these beautiful humans that have already given to the start of Spring Pledge Drive. Leah Dyke from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Hey, Leah.
Deidre Simpson from Kelowna, BC.
Those girls are getting together up there.
They're having a party. Leroy Bayroll from Marshfield, Wisconsin, who undoubtedly will be at the Upper Midwest Conference coming up this fall. We want to also thank Pastors Ted and Pat Winsett from beautiful Decatur, Alabama.
Well, now there's some people.
We haven't heard from Pastor Ted in a little while. We need to hear from Pastor Ted. Besides, we're happy to take your money, Ted and Pat, but we would love to hear from you from time to time. From beautiful Brandon, not Florida, Brandon, Manitoba, Arthur Wirch. We had an anonymous gift from Alberta, from Edmonton. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, New Brunswick. You'll never guess who gave from Wachuca City, Arizona.
Let's see, goodness gracious, I've got a couple of people that I can think of.
Billy Thompson, weekends in Wachuca City. Vicki Davis from Stuart, Florida. Brad and Holly Wilson from Santan Valley, Arizona.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Greg Savoy from Allen, Texas. Brand Dillard from Frederick, Virginia. Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Iowa. Oh, and the aforementioned Robert Hines from McDonough, Georgia. All right, so I know you want your names to be a part of that list, folks. So get on the horn. Let us know what you're going to do or
well,
give.
Yeah. And thank you guys. My goodness. I mean, these are so many of these names are from the past years. And, a lot of people think that the Gospel Revolution is made up of all brand new people from just recent 5, 6, 7 years and stuff. But there are names that are involved in this pledge drive right now that go back 25 years.
It's kind of like the greatest hits of the Gospel Revolution we just read.
It's wonderful. Thank you guys so much. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. It's very heartwarming to, sometimes from the effect that it has on me personally, just hearing these names and that you're there is just the amount of the money just seems irrelevant. We thank you so much for it. But honestly, just hearing your name is just wonderful. And many of you people that most everyone that was mentioned, I think I know who they are from years past. And I just, thank you. Goodness, thank you.
Let us hear from you tonight, folks. Sean is waiting patiently, just took a pledge online, which I will mention momentarily. But now the phone lines are open to you. The pledge has come through. Give us a call, 800-436-3260. We've had a threat from Dina Morgan and Germa Colston.
Uh-oh.
Dina mentioned on Facebook today, Michael, that she posted Kate. You guys have to understand, this is Michigan. Or no, excuse me. This is Australia to Michigan to Virginia. So she mentioned that her and Germa have memorized and often sing to each other, "I Am Not a Christian," by Kate Benham in Australia. And so I challenged them to call the radio show tonight and to serenade us. And I said to Dina that I would die a happy man if I heard Germa Colston sing.
Well, that's number one, two wonderful gospel revolutionaries that are just beloved by everyone. My goodness, Dina and Germa both. And then Kate, oh my gosh, she's been dearly missed. She's had to really buckle down and work really, really hard. And her song, of course, "I'm Not a Christian," of course, she sang for me right here in this living room. And just amazing. It was one of the, I think, one of the greatest breakthrough songs to explain the gospel. If we came out with a CD tacked on to the back of the gospel or the Christianity Free Gospel with the song "I'm Not a Christian," it would be just perfect.
I think that you just had an idea, my friend. No, seriously.
Yeah, why not?
Do you think Kate would give us permission to use "I Am Not a Christian"?
You know, if we ask her real nicely, it just might happen.
Real nice-like?
Yeah, real nice.
Another gift just came in, a $50 gift from our
really?
Dear sister, Suzanne Johnson.
And, oh, my goodness. Suzanne, thank you.
Suzanne, you are the bomb. That's all there's to it. And here from beautiful Castor, Alberta, Canada, ladies and gentlemen, Cookie Davy Duck with a $200 one-time gift.
Thank you so much.
What did I call her last week or 2 weeks? Was it 2 weeks ago?
I don't know.
Cookie,
how can you mess up that name?
Because Sean wrote it down wrong. I just read
it
what.
Give Sean a break. He's sick.
No, I'm not going to give Sean a break because he's not that sick. And actually, he wrote her name down properly this time, and he wasn't sick last week when he screwed it up. Cookie Davy Duck with $200. Thank you. And listen, Cookie, please just either email us. You know how to get in touch with us or call Jeff at the office number on the homepage and make sure that Jeff has your shipping information. Because here's the thing. We haven't even talked about it yet, but you guys, if you give $100, in one-time gift or in monthly pledges, totally $100. You get the entire CD series, What's Proverbs Got to Do with It? This One's for Laurel, which Mike did in Calgary a couple of months ago. You get the entire series, and for anybody that increases their monthly pledge in any amount or pledges monthly in a new way, a new one-time pledge, a monthly pledge, or increases your monthly pledge, you're going to get Stephen Aaron Essery's book in I don't have it in front of me, Michael. Help me.
The
Hour We Least Expected. That's a Bible verse. You think I'd have that memorized? The phones are ringing off the hook. I'm happy to report.
People are something. My goodness.
I love it, guys. Yeah, and here is a letter from our dear brother in the great Buckeye State of Ohio, Tim Knappenberger. He says, "Hi, Mike and Glenn. I wanted to thank you both for last week's webcast. I listened via the podcast on my weekly trek with my dog. I especially liked your comment, Mike, that God found his resting place, his Sabbath, in us. How simple.
Wasn't that good? I was thrilled with that, with that myself.
You were happy when you heard it come out of your mouth.
I was happy with it, yes.
He goes, how simple, how utterly spirit-blowing, profound. Also, the work you've both been doing on the concept of religion's false cause and effect view of God and reality has resonated in me. Everything I perceived in my old religious mindset sat hinged on that concept. Everything. To be freed from that is means yet another shackle is broken in my chain of bondage. Every time I listen to one of the webcasts, I come away wondering, why did we not all see this and wonder about the simplicity of the gospel sooner?
I know.
Yes, I know. There's a time and a season for everything. The other thing I came away with is how blessed and fortunate I've been to have learned this greater truth of the gospel through the Gospel Revolution's message. Lastly, every time I listen to a webcast, I'm reminded that I'm responsible to help to get this wonderful truth out to others, and that it's been too long since sending my last contribution. Rather than hanging my head in my old religious guilt, condemnation, and shame, I'll sign off and go write my spring pledge drive check. Thank you guys so much. Keep on keeping on. Tim Knappenberger. In the great state of Ohio. Yeah, that's exactly right. Michael, how many times do people not follow through, not just on a financial donation or a commitment of showing up somewhere, just because the last time they said they were going to do it, they didn't do it, so they feel guilty about going ahead and doing it again because it reminds them about the previous time they blew it. You know what we say about guilt and judgment and condemnation on this radio program and through this ministry effort and this message called thegospelrevolution.com, folks? As you know what we're going to do, Michael? We're going to quote Ivan Rogers, "Fooey on guilt." Fooey on guilt and condemnation.
I like fooey.
I like chop fooey, I'll tell you that.
Fooey on judgment. Yeah, forget what you haven't done. And, I mean, there's nobody holding a record on somebody. Goodness gracious. I remember, Mike Evans, who was a great, Jew for Jesus.
Mike Evans was one of the, he might still be on television, on Christian television. He was a Jew for Jesus, and he got up higher in the Israeli government. He got as high as you could get. And he was one of the strangest human, you know, you've talked many times, Michael, about how insecure and how just craving attention and security that Christian leaders are, that they're the worst. But actually, Mike Evans actually demonstrated it on television. I mean, that was one weird, just reacting dude.
Well, we got, I was in a meeting. There probably wasn't more than, it was other ministries there with Mike Evans. I cannot tell you how many years ago this was. It's probably pushing 30 years or more. And, I mean, it was before I was making any money doing it at all, which later on in the Word of Faith movement, I was making a lot of money from it, but at this point I wasn't. And we were sitting there. I know it was still in the 70s. I know that it was. It was before I started pastoring a church. So it was still in the 70s. And so he got up and he did this thing of making a pledge. He said, you don't have to have the money, just pledge it. And then when it comes in, if it comes in, then you send it in. If you pledge it, he wanted everybody to pledge $1,000. And so, but then when it comes in, just send it in. No pressure. You don't just say you'll do it if the $1,000. I raised my hand. And, of course, you know, why not? Why not help out a brother? So I signed up and they got my name down and everything. And I didn't have $1,000 come in.
Right.
I started getting threatening phone calls from Mike Evans Ministries.
Did you hear what he said, folks? Mike Evans Ministries, not Mike Williams Ministries. Mike Evans Ministries.
I was getting threatening phone calls. They were telling me what God was going to do to me and all kinds of stuff. And I mean, that was probably one of my earlier breaks with freedom. And I just told him right over the phone, I said, you can cancel my pledge. I will not give you $1,000, even if it comes in.
Dude, Mike Evans had one of the great 70s porn stashes in all of evangelical Christianity. I mean, that was a bad, bad mustache. We're just so happy to report that we're hearing from British Columbia again, from Kamloops, BC.
Randy, I've been in Kamloops.
Randy Bailey with $30. Thank you so much, Randy. Cannot thank you enough. And now let us continue north of the border and go to the son of the aforementioned Arthur Wirch. Please welcome online from beautiful Manitoba, Mr. Howard Wirch. Howie.
Hey, Glenn.
Howie, I'm not so enthusiastic.
Why?
Why do you think?
Because of your failed hockey team?
Yes, that is exactly right, my friend. Because Tampa Bay Lightning are not going to make the playoffs because of Howie's Winnipeg Jets up there in Manitoba, the former Atlanta Thrashers. See, you have to import from the south of the United States in order to make the NHL playoffs. But congratulations, my friend. Now I am pulling for Winnipeg until they take on the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, I'm not sure that the Jets have made the playoffs yet either, but we're a ways away. But we've got a better chance than your team.
I think you're going to be okay. Howie, what a pleasure to hear from you. How is your lovely and talented wife, Manda?
She's great.
I know. She is great, isn't she?
Yeah. Absolutely.
May I retell the story that I haven't told in a few weeks?
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, several weeks ago, you guys remember hearing from Ron Fox from Palm Springs, California, that we hadn't heard from in about 6 years. But about every 3 months, as Ron reminded the beautiful humans, and if you guys want to hear that entire interview, go to Thank You for Not Killing Yourself, which I'm not exactly sure. It's about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. Thank You for Not Killing Yourself. But we hadn't heard from Ron in about 6 years or thereabouts. And he said, I'm the Ron that you reference every 3 months. And I've told this story about Howie and Manda before, maybe several times. But I don't think I've done it for about 3 months. And so it's the first annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston, Texas. And I'm walking down the hotel hallway for the first time, and here come these two beautiful humans up towards me with black T-shirts on that say, Greetings, you beautiful human, on it, with a picture of an alien on the front of their T-shirt. And that's how I was greeted by Howie and Amanda Wirch, with a T-shirt of my own, which I, of course, value to this day, Howard. Thank you very much for giving me a T-shirt.
Well, here's the thing, though, Glenn. We didn't really know you well back then, but we were getting them made up. And my wife told me that I better not put the alien on yours in case that would, you know, maybe you still had some religion left in you.
No, you know, see how nice I am. I left that part of the story out. and that is absolutely the case, folks. They think about this. You guys that have been listening to the show for a little while, you can imagine and appreciate the irony of this story. Manda and Howard left off the alien's face on my shirt. And Michael, lest I be offended.
Gospel sensitivity, you know.
I love that gospel sensitivity. Howard,
now I'd put aliens all over the shirt, I think.
And rightfully so. And rightfully so. Because we are aliens in a foreign land, no doubt
That's
about
right.
it. How are you guys? Has spring sprung in Manitoba?
Yeah, it's been incredibly warm here.
Yeah.
I haven't got outside my office much because I'm working like a dog, but, you know, it's been in the 20s, which is incredible for March.
All right, that's Celsius, of course.
Yes, well, that's...
Well, the entire world understands what that means as far as the amount of warmth, but for us backwoods people in the United States, south of the border, what does that translate in Fahrenheit?
High 60s.
Ooh, that is toasty for Manitoba.
20 degrees Celsius is a beautiful spring day in Canada.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've enjoyed some beautiful weather. We have pretty much no snow left, and it's been great. So, yeah, we've been enjoying it a bit.
What you're saying is that you're not really torqued off at global warming.
No.
Okay, good. Who's down
only
on global warming?
The only problem is it's coming too early and I can't get out and enjoy it. That's the only problem.
Well, hopefully it'll last a little bit while longer, too. So what do you got for us tonight, my brother, from another mother?
Well, the first thing is I missed a call from our dear friend. Oh, my goodness, my brain's fried at the end of the day. I missed a call for...
Vic Dobrennan?
No, not from your administrator.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff
O. Robinson.
Sorry.
Oh, Jeff. Dude.
Is that Jeff out calling people or
that
something?
He is Johnny on the spot. That is such good news that you missed a call from him.
Well, he's calling on Pledge Drive, so I figured I'd phone in and make my pledge.
You are the man.
Yeah, so I'm going to give if you can make a pledge for me for $50.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
On top of the normal amount that you guys get. But, you know, I have a bit of a story to go as well.
Please do.
So my story was I had a great dream last night. And you know that old song that we sang in Sunday school? I don't know if you grew up in Sunday school or not, but we sang Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
Of course.
You know the one?
'Cause the Bible tells me so.
Well, it was in my dream, and it was in my head when I woke up this morning, which actually I have a real soft spot for that song because I grew up with it. And there's, you know, there's a bit of the gospel in that song, but
Absolutely.
There's a bit else in there as well.
Well,
so I decided I would rewrite the words today.
Nice.
And gospelize it.
You gonna sing it for us?
Well, sure. You want it?
In your best Canadian accent, please.
Okay. Jesus loves me, this I know. For Mike Williams tells me so. All the world to him belongs. That is why I sing this song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Mike Williams tells me so.
Mike Williams tells me so.
Oh,
hey, there's verse 2.
Go for it.
Uh-oh.
Let's hear it.
Jesus loves me, he who died, for the world was crucified. He has washed away all sin, for redemption entered in. Mm. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Mike Williams tells me so.
Oh, Howie, you are something else.
Oh, dude. Oh, you guys, you don't understand. See, I'm telling you, this is how it is. This is how it is at Gospel Revolution conventions. This is how it is at summits. This is how it is at Grace conferences in Calgary. This is how it is on telephone conversations. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
No, that's a beautiful
thing.
Thank
you for not resisting.
Thank you, Howard.
I'll email you the words so you can post
it. No, it will be posted, of course. And okay, all right, here's Robertson's comment about your, well, let's just say your senior moment that you had, Howard. He says, I laughed when Howard forgot my name, and now my earache and my throat are killing me. So much for a merry heart working like good medicine. Because, see, here's the thing. Here's what happened. Sean was sick, and then I called Jeff to tell him that the webcast was in jeopardy tonight, and Jeff reported that he had the exact same symptoms that Sean had. So, of course, I asked if Jeff and Sean had, you know, been together recently. And this happens in a hockey locker room, Howie. A flu goes through the locker room, right? Through the clubhouse in a baseball team. But,
oh, yeah.
But these guys don't even live close to each other. It's happening supernaturally.
It is all in Florida, you know.
Oh, that's true. And there is something happening in Florida that way. That I can verify. Howard, thank you so much. We got to fly.
Thank you,
all right,
Howard.
Thanks, guys.
Love you. Say hi to Manda.
Manda for me.
Give our love to Manda. That's Manda Wirch's husband from Manitoba, from Dauphin there. Howard. Now we're going to go from, well, the sunny climes of Manitoba to the sunny climes of Hawaii. Please welcome online the very lovely and talented Marcus Deal. Marcus!
Yo, what's happening, kids? Yo!
Bruh, how much were you enjoying that? That was good stuff.
Oh, man, it's wonderful. It's so good to talk to you guys again and get back on the phone with Mike and Glenn. You guys are both so lovely and talented. I thought we could maybe do something on the show tonight called The Devil's Advocate.
Be the devil's advocate. Marcus, be the devil's advocate. Let us hear that. We would love to hear that.
All right. So as pertaining to the gospel revolution, of course. So let's say we are, you know, as Mike would say, freed to be a legalist. Right, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, well,
quoting me. I don't like this.
No, right. He's quoting, and just if you guys, Marcus, you cut out a little bit. He said Michael has said, and he has been, that we or that you are freed to be a legalist. Okay,
yes.
All right, Marcus, go ahead.
I'm getting set up here. I can tell.
As the devil's advocate, I would just mention. Now, why would the church? Or the majority of the church as a whole, you know, not the gospel that we believe, but just as the devil's advocate, I would say, why does the church refuse the true gospel?
Why does the church refuse what gospel now?
Why does the church refuse the true gospel, the gospel that you teach? And
gotcha.
Right.
We could do a probably a 10 list on this, but let's just go to the number one reason why Christians do not accept the gospel. They haven't heard it.
Mm.
That's just really basically it. They just have not heard it.
Tell Marcus, Michael, and he may have heard it, but you know, people like Moses Nagata Gachow in Kenya may not have heard the story. When you first started preaching the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace, you were preaching it in Christianity, and what were those Christians' responses?
Oh, their response was overwhelming. It was really amazing, the response to grace. And the gospel of peace, that God is not angry anymore, and that there's nothing that you can earn with God through keeping law, and that Christ has delivered us from the law. And I was in some of the most hardcore legalistic places that you could be, and I watched people get set free in such powerful ways. The issue in all of those situations was that leadership or the people in charge of the meetings either shut down the meeting. I've had them to step up and remove me from the pulpit to stop talking in the middle of my sermon.
Yeah, like right there in Hawaii.
Yeah, yes. Hawaii was a good example. I certainly got shut down on Kauai for sure. And then others just heard about these things, and then of course these pastors would not allow their people to hear this. And but you know, the one thing that's so powerful to me, as I look back over the history of the gospel revolution, we have broken through in so many places. I do not know of anybody, quote, in the ministry who can say how many people, quote, pastors, actual pastors of churches that have, by decision from their own heart after hearing the gospel, given up being pastors. They were so encouraged by the gospel that they gave up Christianity, even the position as pastors. And these are free people today.
And you're proud of this?
Yes, and they're proud of me. They're grateful to me. These people totally lost their ministries. And I'm telling you, more than I can count, especially at this moment, but we have there's pastors all over Canada, all over the U.S., people who were pastoring, and they were having me to come in and speak in their churches. And the more they understood the gospel, finally they just said, that's it. I don't want anything else to do with Christianity. This is all a farce. And these were people educated in Bible schools all over the world. And so the issue is that they haven't heard. Because when people hear, their hearts really resonate with the gospel in such a powerful way. I've said for many years, especially with Word of Faith people, and especially Word of Faith evangelical people, if they will give me 45 minutes to sit down with them, it will change their life forever. They will not believe what they say they believe at the end of that 45 minutes. And I've had that happen so many times. And the issue is hearing it. I could sit down with Joel Osteen. I know I would be successful. I could sit down with any one of them who would listen for 45 minutes and it's over with. Because the logic of the gospel is so powerful and so real. But see, for them to maintain money and prestige, they have to forbid this gospel to be preached.
Yeah, but Michael, you just said if you could sit down with Joel Osteen is a multi-millionaire because
he is, and that would be one of the only reasons that he would have to reject what I have to say or what the gospel has to say. I mean,
bro, he would be. He would be out of his mind not to reject it.
Yes, I agree. What was the teen ministry? It's worldwide, and they it's something teen
Teen Mania.
No,
Teen Challenge.
Much older.
Teen Challenge.
Teen Challenge.
Yeah,
Teen Challenge.
Yeah.
The gospel got loose in Teen Challenge worldwide. Back in the late 80s, the gospel of peace and gospel of grace. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you what, it was amazing what was happening in these young people's lives in these different camps and groups around the world. And boy, I'm telling you what, leadership found out about it and they shut it down. They were literally confiscating Mike Williams' tapes. And this has happened so many times.
Did they have little tape burning ceremonies and stuff? You know?
Yeah, you know, whatever they did with them, I don't know.
And then like, would demons come screaming out of the cassette tapes? Except it was actually just the plastic making noise as it burned.
And we had up in Canada there are these German sects, and they're called Hutterites, and they are in these large communal groups, and the largest one of the largest ones was in the Yukon, and the tapes went through there, and it closed the place down completely.
Dude.
So what has happened over the years is an attempt to isolate me from anybody hearing me.
Yeah.
Because the consequences are that people listen and they understand and they embrace it.
Dude,
there has been a concerted effort from people in leadership of churches around this planet to forbid people to hear the gospel. Worldwide Church of God, another one. That the tapes got in there.
Right,
in
that's
the
what
late
80s, I was going to say.
Dude,
you screwed up the entire the Worldwide Church of God.
Oh, it split completely in half. At least it was never what it was. They have never recovered the members and the participation or the money that they had.
But you talk about Mike Evans looking bizarre. That guy, what was his name? Was it Harold Armstrong?
William Armstrong, I think.
That was one strange man that I used to watch every week on Herbert W. Armstrong. Thank you. Mikey. Look at Michael coming up with it. That's all. Here, Marcus, I got to ask you, because I have a thought that came to my mind when you asked that question of Michael. What is it? And he said the number one reason. A number one reason came to my mind. I would not have said because Christians haven't heard it. You must have thought of at least one answer as to why the typical Christian, as you say, people that are in churches, do not embrace the true gospel. What do you think? What do you think is the reason besides that they haven't heard it?
I would say, you know, like Mike's answer is that, you know, that they haven't heard it, but I would think that it would be that they have heard it. And that they're refusing to stick with their dogma and stick with their belief that they were raised in. And they don't, you know, that belief issue is the main issue. We've got to have the belief. We have to have that mental, you know, it's okay. I'm with God. Here's my mental statement, the soul, like, I like what Mike teaches because it's that, you know, the soma and the psyche and the pneuma, the three parts of man are related to the three parts of God, that, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we were created in God's image, so we have that as well. And that part of our mind, that soul, needs to be renewed daily. It's got to be saved. You know, we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know,
hey, Marcus.
Yeah.
When's the last time you listened to a webcast?
Actually, I think it was 3 weeks ago.
What you're saying is such music to our ears. I got to tell you, bro. I mean, the understanding that is coming out of you is just it's a beautiful thing. But Mikey, I gotta be frank with the beautiful humans. I really do. When you said that the number one thing that is the reason that Christians do not receive the gospel, I thought, and I know you won't disagree with this, and it's really great, folks. It's gorgeous, because I totally, as you did when Michael said, because I have heard it. You totally heard that. You totally embraced it. But my thought was because of self-righteousness. And that's just basically what Marcus was saying.
Right.
Whether it become from somebody...
Go ahead, Mike. That's what the gospel addresses is self-righteousness.
Right, it's the
and
mind.
It is the satisfaction. Yes, it's the satisfaction for self-righteousness. It's the remedy for self-righteousness. But that it so works. Let me tell you something. This gospel... this gospel works so well. People receive it so well. You've got to understand there is a concerted effort around the world, and I can name names of people who are speaking to other people in religious circles, making sure that no tapes from Gospel Revolution or Mike Williams Ministries gets out to people.
Right.
I mean, it's a concerted effort. there is a global effort. I mean, it's like the vast right-wing conspiracy, I guess you could
remember.
Say.
Or you could say the vast left-wing conspiracy. Yeah. It doesn't really
or
make
the
it.
The vast left-wing.
That's it. No,
this is a Christian conspiracy of leadership against the gospel. They are they are so afraid of it because it does take away their money and it takes away their prestige. And
when you were first coming to Landmark Church and I was listening to your teachings and all of my friends who were in the youth group there and I was like, this guy's got it. He's teaching the grace of God. It's the total 100% grace. It's coming from God and he loves us. You know, and you were, you know, I remember the deacons and elders, you know, at the church, they're kind of like, well, I don't know. Let's not let that grace get a little too out of hand.
Dude, wait. Hey, Marcus, where is Landmark Church? Where is that?
Georgia.
Oh, it's Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta.
All right. But you're in Hawaii right now?
Oh, yeah. Amongst my many travels, yes, I think I'm here to stay.
Where are you? Wait. Where are you in Hawaii? Exactly.
I'm on Maui in Kihei.
All right. Now here. Maui. All right. A very, very good friend of mine is in Maui,
mm-hmm.
and I would not be surprised. He just moved there. His name is Steve Trueblood, and he was in evangelical. I mean, he was on the 700 Club. This guy. Need I say more? I prophesy right now that you're going to run into Steve Trueblood in Maui. And if I'm wrong, you can kill me. Hey, listen, Marcus, we got to go. Hey,
no, wait. We got to follow up on something just a bit before we do.
Wait. That's the first time you just whoa'd me, Michael. That's the first time.
Whoa, Glenn. Wait.
You guys, this is a history-making moment in the history of the Gospel Revolution. Michael just whoa'd me. Oh, my God. All right, go ahead.
Landmark Church, and I was wanting to let him know about this. I don't know if he knows about this. Of course, the pastor at Landmark Church is
Fred Kelly. Yeah.
All right.
Well, you guys said it together in unison.
Hey, you know what?
Fred Kelly.
Free to be religious, right?
Fred is a very well-known pastor in the Atlanta area and, you know, does carry a lot of influence in amongst the full gospel sect of the churches there in the Atlanta. I used to speak in that church a lot. And I remember one of the things that Fred got upset with me about was acknowledging his wife, that she had gifts and talents. And he warned me later that she didn't need that. That she would get out of hand if people thought that if she got too much acknowledgement.
Oh,
from
my
people.
God.
What? Are you kidding?
No, he told me that.
No,
he sat me down in his office and told me, because you remember, I don't know if you remember the meetings, but I really acknowledged her because I just saw a woman that was just needed. She needed to be acknowledged. And, you know, I spoke well of her in this session. She was always very nice to me. And,
sure. Yeah.
But Fred is one of them that began to let people know they should not have me in. And
wow.
Our last encounter with Fred Kelly was just about probably 4 years ago when he became aware of the webcast. And he got in contact with us, and I think that it was actually a letter that he sent. And and that's where that I had affirmed to Fred that I was indeed a gay man, and the whole testimony thing was, you know, what it was. And this was Fred Kelly's comment. He said, and this was his last communication with us, Fred Kelly said, I will, and I think he even used the term prophesy. He said, at least it came with a guarantee. I guarantee you that as people find out that Mike Williams is a practicing homosexual, his financial support will dry up like a snowball in July.
Wow.
Mikey?
Since then, we've grown a little.
Mike?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mike? Wait. Hold on, Marcus. Mike?
Yeah?
You're gay?
Well, I'm not practicing anymore anyway.
Oh my God! I'm telling you, Marcus, my prophecy is way more sure than that guy's prophecy in Atlanta. I guarantee. Hey, bro, do you want to make a contribution tonight on this Pledge Drive webcast?
Steve, and it's the guy you told me about. What was his name? Steve Trueblood.
Steve Trueblood. Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
I guarantee you. You are going to meet Steve Trueblood. Well, unless you're going back to Georgia tomorrow, then I will not guarantee.
No. And let me answer your question real quick. Yes. Now, as far as the pledge drive goes, I think my mom would have a problem with that.
Yeah, so?
Because she's free to be a legalist, and probably the rest of my family are free to be legalists too, right?
That's how they... That seems how this conversation started. But you know, are you freed from your mama? Have you been...
I'm freed from everyone.
Okay.
I think everyone should be freed from everyone. But now, here's my issue as far as my own soul goes. I still, in my mind, have a little bit of an issue with entire redemption. I do believe that the world is redeemed. I still have a little bit of a problem with the belief. I think there's a little bit of belief that should take place within a human, but I'm at odds with it because I love Mike and I love what he teaches and I've been following him for years.
All right, well, here's the very good news for you, Marcus. So does Steve Trueblood. He totally sees. I mean, dude, this guy. When you meet Trueblood, and you will, I guarantee you, if you're hanging around Mao, you will meet Trueblood. You will run into him, and then we'll have the follow up story, and then you will confirm that this was not a setup. Trueblood also believes that there's got to be some belief involved. You guys will enjoy each other very much.
I mean, I really do believe. I agree with Mike on the issue that we are all redeemed and that we love God and we love the Lord. And
No. Hold on. No, Mike would not say. Mike would say we're all redeemed. He would not say we all love the Lord. See, all right. So, Mike, we are so over the break here. But in 27 seconds or less. Please express to Marcus why we can be all redeemed but not all love the Lord.
Well, and we can all be redeemed and not know the Lord. Paul's goal after being redeemed was to know the Lord, was to know him and the power of his resurrection. I think that's one of the most powerful things that has happened to me. Is that I don't even say that I believe in Jesus anymore. I know him. It is transcended even a belief in, because once you know Jesus by the scriptures, you know him. And Paul's goal was to know the Lord and to know the power of his resurrection. And to do so, he said, even as you guys have brought up, that he had to get rid of his own righteousness. So I think that one of the hang-ups about belief is that we don't realize there's something even more profound than belief, and that is actually knowing the Lord.
I love that. Marcus, we love you.
Marcus.
Say hello to Steve Trueblood when you see him. He kind of looks like Robert Redford before Robert Redford had all the face work done.
Okay.
All right. You'll see him. You'll see him on the beach.
Okay.
All right. Love you. Call back.
Guys, all right. Thank you so much.
There goes Marcus Deal. Bye, Marcus. Ladies, from Maui, Maui, Hawaii. All right, we are so over time, bro.
Yes, go ahead.
I know.
I free you now to take back control over the show.
No, we don't have enough time, folks. We've got Peggy and Jesse Zuniga from Maryland Wedding Online, but. You know, you guys that have been listening to the show for a little bit, especially like the last, 2 months or so, you've noticed that we have music now. We have not only great commercials and an intro from Robert Moore, we actually have music due to the very talented brain and hands of Sean O'Halloran.
Yeah.
And usually, going into the break, we have the music playing underneath. But I was so inspired from the aforementioned Dina Morgan's post today. She just put this really cool graphic on Facebook, Michael, that said, "I'm free." And and that thought led to this song. Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the theme and the story of Mike Williams' life. Let's listen.
She's a good girl, loves her mom, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her. I'm free falling. Yeah, I'm free falling.
Michael, if I had a dollar for every time you've told me that you're in the free fall or that you're free falling, I'd have a couple $100.
Yeah, at least.
What? When you've told me, and you have so many times, that you're in the free fall or free falling, what did you mean by that?
Well, that's the only explanation I can come up with as far as the effect of the gospel on my life, and it touches me very deeply, even just to say that I'm free falling. I'm in a free fall. And I can't tell you exactly when I took the leap. I know the very first time that I preached the gospel of peace, I felt that. I felt that leap, and that I didn't know where the bottom was. And that may have been the first time, actually, that I began to free fall. It was 30 years ago this year, and the temptation. And I see myself in this free fall. The problem with falling is you're wondering where the bottom is. But 30 years has gone by now, and I've not found the bottom. And I have lost all fear of falling. And
it really is
the most powerful thing.
I know, Mike. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Gospel Revolution Radio webcast.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Hello. I love you, won't you tell me your name?
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to thank Robert Moore for that outstanding effort on promoting the Book of Romans. But these commercials are not planned with the theme of the program, folks. And Robert said, well, it might be a couple years ago at this point, at the end of that commercial, that you got to hear it to believe it. And your answer to Marcus Deal's question, Michael, of the number one reason that Christians don't believe the gospel is because they don't hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it is a, and the gospel really is an invitation to a free fall. And without accepting any support, anything to hang your hat on or allege to stand on, as far as self-righteousness is concerned, you cast it aside and you begin to realize you literally are free-falling in the love of God. There's no fear of falling. There's no fear of failure.
Because a free fall would have to include what you said at the beginning before you got a little verklempt there. And you guys that don't know what verklempt means, just look it up in the Yiddish dictionary. Is that there's no bottom. And because both you and I could confidently say with gospel revolutionaries all over this globe that there has been no bottom.
No, and that's the amazing thing is that you finally lose the fear of falling and, let me include, the fear of failure. It just disappears out of life. That's been my experience. And I know that I could fail at any moment. But this falling, I get a perfect picture of Bugs Bunny, and you've seen him falling, and the anvil passes him up, you know.
I know.
But he's still falling.
Wait, hold on for a second. You got it all cocked up here. You got Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner.
And you got
the Wile E. Coyote and. Who is
but
the guy?
See, they all know what the free fall is.
Right, right.
Then Bugs Bunny lays back and he starts eating a carrot in the free fall.
And so does the Roadrunner.
So I'm eating my carrot.
So you are the Roadrunner and the Bugs Bunny of the Gospel Revolution. That's what you're saying.
And they are my apostles.
More. More titles for Michael Williams on the Gospel Revolution radio network. Think we could take an email right now from the beautiful and talented Moses Nagata Gachow of Kenya?
Oh, yeah. We love hearing from Moses.
He says, "Hi, Mike and Glenn. Thanks for the good work you are doing. I read an article from a guy named Mark Speed. He said that the 12 disciples' Great Commission failed almost as soon as it started. That Jesus gave his disciples the commission even though he knew it would fail, and that no nations have been or will be discipled in this age. What is your take on these statements, Michael?" And that is our dear brother in Kenya, Moses Nagata Gachow.
Well, of course, Moses always, gets to a chord that is always close to people and that really does need to be addressed. Now, I can't put this all in a row right here, but I remember at least 20 years ago doing a study on things that we know that the Catholics inserted certain things in the transcribing of the New Testament letters. And I remember doing this study, and I found out that there were several places that just are not in the original manuscript. The term "obey those that have the rule over you" was not in the original manuscript. That was inserted conveniently. And the Great Commission is not in the original manuscript, then in the original writings. There is no place where Jesus says, "I'm going to go away and you go make disciples and then I'll come back." This was over 20 years ago when I had absolutely no reason to question whether or not Jesus was coming back or not. But the entire Great Commission, I remember very explicitly in this study that was done. It was, I'm, you know, maybe it was a book. I just, goodness gracious, I do so much research in these things. I retain the knowledge. Sometimes I don't retain where I actually found the information. But that's, and since then, I've been persuaded because of how persuasive this book was about comparing, the literal comparing of original text and showing explicitly that original text did not contain these words that were translated, and what it would have had said in the original text had this been there. And it just isn't there.
That's unfortunate. Well, why do you have to actually bring clarity and reality to the issue?
Well, I think that is also part of our heritage, is to be able to have clarity. There's no reason this should be muddled. There's just no reason this should be difficult at all. Not when God himself, through the power of the work of the cross, did all that was needed to be done 2,000 years ago through the death, burial, and resurrection. It's finished work. And that's why clarity comes, is because of the cross.
I know, but you talk about the fact that people do not get blessed if they give to something financially from God, and it's really problematic, I must say. And I also must say, we got this email from Michael Bond that says, thank you guys so much for exposing Christianity. And especially,
Michael's a voice from many years ago.
I know. And speaking about the Gospel Revolution greatest hits, thank you so much for exposing Christianity and especially exposing me to the Gospel Revolution. Very grateful.
Oh, you're welcome, Mike.
Very grateful for Jesus and what he did.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So are we, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Stayed in Michael Bond and his really, I just have such a perfect picture of Michael and his wife, and they had a little girl at the time, and she's just not a little girl anymore. She's very grown and very well established in the gospel too, I might say. But I've stayed in their home there with them in Atlanta, and they were always so gracious to me, and we had some incredible conversations around the table there in their home, for sure. And they, I think one of my trips through there was actually during a time that I was so devastated financially, I didn't have gas money to get down the road. And a stop at their house was something that absolutely was needed. It was necessary.
Do you want to go into any more detail other than that? It's a hell of a story. You know what? We don't have time. But you guys, No, it's a hell of a story, though, you guys. I'm telling you. Michael, you know, when Michael met you at the door, did he say, "Hi, I'm Bond, Michael Bond"? Did he say
no,
that?
No, he didn't.
No, he did not say that.
No, he didn't.
All right, you guys, we got a couple more minutes left. We are going to go to our next caller that has been waiting for quite a while. Greatly appreciate. Please welcome online from the great state of Maryland. Please welcome Peggy Zuniga to the Gospel Revolution webcast. Peggy!
Hey, how are you? Jesse's here as well. We just came calling to give our love and a donation or a commitment of $50, and we hope to be more supportive in the financial realm.
Wait a second. Peggy, okay. Wait, are you sure about this?
We want to be, let me see, how do I word this? We enjoy dropping off glory bombs in the churches just as much as Mike.
I like how you said that.
We've been thrown out as many, you know, maybe not as much as Mike, but we've been thrown out. We've been stalked. So we feel like we're in the same camp as Mike, sure.
Michael, have you been stalked?
Stalked. Depends on what context you put that.
Right. I'm sure Peggy was relating to her church or Christianity experience. Have you been Christianity stalked, Michael Williams?
Well, you know, not. I'm sure that we have. I'm sure I have. I just it's one of those things I don't watch for. So.
Well, no. You know what? I can verify this, Peggy. Michael has definitely been stalked online. I can tell you that for sure. I mean, that's how people know what they know, and they misinterpret and they say weird things, and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. That was Michelle Mike, what they're calling. We listened to a large church explain like what the baptism. You know why you know you're allowed to be in grace, but they were explaining what baptism was and tithing was. You know, and it wasn't really the law anymore, but they called it substance. Mike, you would like that. They just, you know, because that's.
Wait. Peggy, what do they call it? I didn't understand that.
Well, they're speaking of the grace of God and talking about the book of John. Just all, it's some good freedom stuff going on. And then it's like, well, there's a baptism right behind them. They point to the baptismal and said, but this is substance.
Oh, substance.
I think it's one of those things that you can't really throw out. You know, it's been around so long, you can't really believe that you're covered by the water, too. You know, you can't believe that Christ took care of everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that
and
kind
they got
of
it so they just exactly it. Wrong. The water baptism exactly is just wrong. The opposite. It was the shadow.
Yeah.
Faith has given us the substance of the baptism, not baptism gives us the substance of faith. Oh man, don't get me going.
Why?
No.
I thought you were
no,
right.
No, 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 no. Mike, what, Sean went to the bathroom. We've got a couple extra seconds here. No, get going. Get going, Michael.
Honestly, I mean, that's just how backward Christianity has it, to turn around and point to a water baptismal and say that's the substance, when actually Paul taught just the opposite to that, that things such as baptism was the shadow. And now we have the substance in Christ, in the faith in Christ. The substance of baptism has been given to us. The substance of everything that was practiced in the Old Covenant, we now have it in the substance of faith. Faith is the substance, not water. Water is not substance. They don't know the substance. They just don't know the substance of
the
new
kingdom. They just don't know.
Michael, wait, hold on, Peggy. Michael, and why don't they know the substance?
They haven't heard it.
Yep. I'm convinced of that now.
Yeah. Well, we enjoyed. We went to Atlanta this week. We did a great show at the Voice. We didn't get chosen, but we did a great presentation. But we had so much fun in Atlanta, and we got to listen to Hebrews debunked probably for the fourth time. So it gets better and better.
Oh wow!
Gets better and better. Yeah. All the way down,
yeah,
all the way back.
Hebrews,
good
lot in there.
All right, Peggy.
Thank you so much.
Is Jesse there?
Yes, I am.
Jess.
Yes. How are you doing?
Give your wife a kiss on the lips for us, please.
Okay, I will.
All right. We love you,
okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you for being my friend.
Thanks for giving tonight.
Absolutely.
Love you guys. Oh my God.
Love you too. Bye.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, they bring up the baptism, Michael, and of course in the baptism, in the traditional baptism, you get dunked down underneath the water.
Yeah.
But in the gospel, we're like the rubber duckies that are floating on the water. We don't have to go down anymore.
Well, we are submerged. We are buried with him in baptism. We're raised into life. We are. The ignorance of that statement just shook me to the core.
It is so classic, actually. But, I mean, we are like that rubber ducky that is submerged and that pops right. I mean, we were resurrected with him, too. We weren't just buried, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
We were resurrected with him. Oh, we are just
a one-shot deal, and it's done
God.
For the whole human race.
We are just getting started, folks. If you want to contribute to this effort, folks, you will be greatly benefited. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. The information about the pledge drive is on there. We've got a lot of good gifts. That information's on there, too. But we're out of time. And Mikey, cannot thank you enough.
Oh, you too, Glenn. Thank you so much. And Jeff, with working through all of his difficulty there with his health, and Sean, my goodness, we've got such troopers around, and everybody called in.
They've been playing hurt, but here's the new rule, folks. We got to keep Jeff and Sean apart. That is clear now. Want to thank Cookie Davy Duck for giving and calling in tonight, for Howie Word from Manitoba, Marcus Deal from Maui, Hawaii. Look for Steve Trueblood and Jesse and Peggy Zuniga from Maryland. Moses' son, Nagata Gachow, emailing us from beautiful Kenya. Everybody else who's given an email us. Michael, we'll do this in a week's time. This is fun.
Absolutely. Love you guys. Thank you so much for participating.
You're all right, Sean? Sean's going to make it. That's the good news coming to you live from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. Until next time, this would be Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.
Broke or evergreen, your black, white, face, Chola descent, your Lebanese, your Orient. Whether like disabilities left you outcast with leader trees, rejoice and love yourself today, because baby, you were born this way.